word rejoice 8 times. But I do not believe that joy is the overall theme of the letter. The overall theme of the letter will result in joy. The overall theme of the letter is life for Christ, life from Christ, life with Christ, life about Christ, life like Christ. If you do all of that, you'll have joy. Joy will be the result. The key verse is, in my opinion, Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. That seems to be the theme of the letter, that Christ is to be our life. Without a doubt, he's the central person in the letter. The name Jesus Christ occurs 8 times. Christ Jesus occurs 8 times. Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. Christ 17 times. Lord 1 time. Or Lord Jesus 1 time. And the word Lord 2 times. He's more central than the subject of joy. So I don't believe that joy is the overall theme of the book. He is presented as the source of spirituality in the book. He is presented as the theme of preaching, the motive of service, our example in service. The height of his character is presented. Saw that this morning in verses that we read. He's the object of fellowship in the book. He's the desire of heaven throughout the letter. He's our strength. In service, he's the channel in which God blesses us, which God supplies our needs. And again, I believe the theme is living for this one. Living for Jesus Christ. Throughout the letter, Paul informs his readers, mostly in chapter 1, of his own circumstances, his attitude and his desires toward Christ in those circumstances. And I believe he did that for the purpose of encouraging his readers to again live with Christ as the central focus. And as you read through the letter, you see Paul is in the face of adverse circumstances. He's still serving the Lord. He's still loving the Lord, still believing, still standing, still preaching Jesus Christ, still determined for Christ, still passionate and zealous for Christ, still had an exuberance for Jesus Christ, still was striving for spiritual excellence. The point being is his circumstances did not deter him from Christ. And the end result is he's rejoicing as a result of Christ in his life. In chapter 3, after stating his aspirations for Christ, his hunger, his thirst, his eagerness to have more of Christ in his life, notice what he says in verse 15. He says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, that is, aiming for perfection. And that's what he was talking about there in chapter 3, pressing toward the mark of Jesus Christ, pressing toward perfection. He says, let all of us that aim for that perfection be thus minded. That is, be united in mind. And the context is to have more of Christ. That's what he said preceding verse 15. Let us all be united in this mind of having more of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, and if in anything, so the desire covers everything. Christ is to be all. Ye be otherwise minded. If anyone think differently, that life should be all about Jesus, God shall reveal even this unto you. He's saying that it is his desire, if anyone thinks differently, then Christ should be our entire life, that God would correct them, that God would correct those erroneous opinions. And they are erroneous, because life is to be all about Jesus Christ. So Paul is speaking here of a unity in living such a life. Every one of us that are saved, we ought to be in agreement that life is all about Christ. That's all about him. And when someone is otherwise minded, and there are many that are, pray that God would correct them. God would correct such thinking. And this is the reason, again, we've said so many times, joy is not a pursuit. Happiness is not a pursuit. It's a result. And so it is here in Philippians. This joy is a result of Christ being everything. Being everything. I don't understand how someone can know that they're saved, know that Jesus Christ saved them, and not think that life should be all about him. I don't understand that. So if anyone is otherwise minded concerning this, oh, that God would correct such thinking. So I want to look at how Paul viewed Christ, and these are all familiar verses that we've preached from many times. He is the purpose of life. Chapter 1, verse 21, for me to live is Christ. That's quite a statement. It should be one that we're all in agreement with. For me to live is Christ. The basis of the statement is found in two words, me and Christ. Where those two words fit into our lives determine the quality, and I'll go as far to say the value of our life. Because when life is all about Christ, when he's the purpose, when we live that way, that's a valuable life. I believe anything lived other than that's a wasteful life. It's a waste. For me, Paul says, Christ. For me, Christ. For me to live is Christ. It is a statement that explains what life meant to Paul. If you were to ask Paul, what is life? He would say Christ. It's Christ. Paul, what is living? Christ. That's his answer. Christ. What does life mean to you? Paul says Christ. That's what it means. It's not about mom and dad. It's not about aunts and uncles, children or grandchildren. That's not the purpose. That is not the overriding purpose of life. For me, Christ. There needs to be agreement on that. And if any man be otherwise minded, that God would correct that thinking. We all know that life, every life has a purpose. Every life has a supreme thing, the thing without which life would be pointless and meaningless. So we need to ask ourselves, what is that purpose? What is that purpose in my life? What is it that gives my life? What makes it meaningful to me? There's only one correct answer. Christ. All other answers are erroneous. What is the supreme thing? What is it that's most important? Again, there's only one correct answer. Those questions are answered by what it is that controls and dominates our life. What is it that controls our life? What is it that what is the dominating factor in our life? Whatever it is, that tells us, that answers the question of what is life to us? What's the nature of our life? What's the object of our life? Paul says, for me, Christ. Doesn't matter what it is for anyone else. He says, for me, Christ. Life, of course, we have various interests. Nothing wrong with having interests. We seek a variety of things in life. We may have various passions. We may have goals. It's all part of life. But that's not life. It's not the supreme thing. It's not the purpose. That is Christ. We make many choices in life. And our choices ought to center, and our choices will center around our purpose. And our purpose is Christ. If any man be otherwise minded, again we pray that God would correct that kind of thinking. Whatever happens in our life, a lot of things can happen. Should not change our purpose. For me, Christ. So it's basically a statement that describes the place of Christ in Paul's life. He is saying, for me, it's like he's saying, for me, maybe not for you, but for me, Christ is the priority. He's number one. He's what's most meaningful. He's the most influential force in my life, Paul is saying. And at the end of that, we can put Philippians 3, verse 15. That we would all be thus minded. And we would all agree with that. That we would all manifest that in our manner of living. that Christ is first, that he's the meaning of life. And if any man be otherwise minded, oh, that God would correct that way of thinking. So Christ is our purpose. In Philippians 2 and verse 5, again, very familiar verses of Scripture. He encouraged them to live in a certain way, as becometh the gospel of Christ in Philippians 1:27. He then pleads for unity in the first four verses of Ephesians 2. And then he says in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Requires the mind of Christ if we're going to live this life. And he sets forth Christ here as the pattern of our life. We're all to be good examples. We're all to be good examples to one another. But we're not the pattern. That's Christ. Not to pattern our life after another individual, because their life is not perfect. We're to pattern our life after Christ. We're to model our life after Christ. He's the criteria. Take the most faithful person in a church. They are not the criteria. Jesus Christ is the criteria. He's the standard. He's the reference point. He's the measuring stick. He's the one we compare ourselves to. And when we do, we always come up short, which causes us to seek him even more. None of us are a rule to ourselves. He's our rule. None of us are a guide to ourselves. He's our pattern. He's our pattern in all things. He's our pattern in every circumstance, in every place, in every time, in every aspect of our lives. He's our pattern. He's our pattern in purity. He is our pattern in holiness. He is our standard. He is our pattern when it comes to obedience. In all things, he obeyed the Father's will. He's our pattern in self-denial. You take the person who denies self more than anyone else. They're not our pattern. They're not the model. Jesus Christ is our model. He's our pattern in activity. He's our pattern in diligence and humility. No one humbled themselves more than Jesus Christ. No one stooped lower than Jesus Christ. No one went further than Jesus Christ. He's our pattern in humility. He's our pattern in lowliness. He's our pattern in contentment. And there ought to be 100% agreement among God's people. This is so. We accept this. Jesus Christ is our pattern. And if anyone be otherwise minded, they're wrong. And we pray that God would correct that thinking. And from time to time, we get messed up in our thinking. And that God would correct that whenever that occurs. So he's our purpose. He's our pattern. Then there in Philippians 3, verses we've preached from many times, verses 10 through 14, you see that he is the pursuit of life. He says that I may know him. That's his desire, to know more of Christ and the power of his resurrection. You think of the power of Christ's resurrection. You think of all the forces of evil that tried to keep Christ in that grave. All the power of his resurrection. Paul says, I long for that power and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after these things. These are the things I pursue, if that I may apprehend, lay hold of, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And aren't you glad that Christ Jesus apprehended you? He laid hold of you. And it should be our desire to lay hold of Jesus Christ. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, that is to completely lay hold of Christ. I have not accomplished that in full. None of us have. He says, I continue to strive for it every single day. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, whatever failures, he says, I forget those and I reach forth unto those things which are before, speaking of Christ. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. These are words that describe his heart, his feelings concerning Christ, his mindset concerning Christ, his determination concerning Christ, his devotion toward Christ. And this was the mindset: I've got to have more of Christ. That was his mindset. I know him, but I want to know him more. Got to have more of Christ. Why was he of that mindset? Well, it's due to what he knew of Christ. It's due to the love he had for Christ. But he knew that there was no condition, there was no situation, there was no circumstance, there was no sin, there was no problem or difficulty or trial or affliction or need that was beyond the person and the power of Christ. So the obvious thing is, I want more of him. I want more of Jesus Christ. That ought to be the mindset of every child of God. I want more of Jesus Christ. There ought to be complete unity in that. I want more of Christ. Every member of Home Baptist Church, that we ought to be in total 100% agreement. He is the purpose of life. He is the pattern of life. And he is to be my pursuit in life. To be in total agreement. And if any man be otherwise minded, all that God would correct such thinking. He knew that everything about Christ was for his good and for his happiness. Do we believe that? Do we know for certain that everything about Christ is for my good and my happiness? Well, if you believe that, then the logical conclusion is, I want more of him. The logical conclusion is, I'm going to pursue him. But why is it that people pursue other things, other matters, over Jesus Christ? Because they feel that there is more good or happiness in whatever that matter is. It doesn't matter what they say. That's what their life says. I believe there's more goodness for me, and I believe there's more happiness for me in this pursuit, and therefore this is what I'm pursuing. But that's never so. Our highest good is in Christ. Our highest joy is in Christ. He knew that it was in Christ that he would find light. He knew that it was in Christ that he would find hope. He would find strength. Knowing that, what are you going to pursue? You're going to pursue him. It's very obvious that not all who profess salvation really believe that they'll find strength in Christ. Because if they did, they'd pursue him. People pursue what they believe in. He knew that it was in Christ that he would find relief. He would find joy. He would find solace. So what does he pursue? Christ. He knew that in Christ he would find assurance. People say, well, I just don't know what to think. Well, pursue Christ. There's assurance there. There's encouragement there. There's courage there. There's peace. Knowing those things, if we all know those things, if we're in agreement on those things, then we're in agreement on our pursuit. We're going to pursue Christ. He knew that in Christ he would find all the sustaining he needed, all the satisfaction, all the contentment. In Christ, we find the spiritual rejuvenation that we need. We all have times and where we just need spiritual rejuvenation. We need a spiritual recharge. There's only one place to find it. And that's the Lord. No need to look anywhere else. That's where you find it. It's where we find victory. So knowing all of these things, he wanted more of Christ. And if we really believe that all of these matters that we've just mentioned are in Christ, then we'll want more of him. But let's be honest. There's an awful lot of people who profess to be saved, and they don't want more of Christ. They want less of him. They want less of him. They would never come out and tell you that. But that's what their life says. I want less of him. I want more of the world. And I want less of Christ. Anytime someone chooses the world over Christ, that's what they're saying. I want more of the world. Less of Christ. There's no struggle coming to the house of God when you want more of Christ. So that's a root problem. He knew that all blessings of God were in and through Christ. Now if we know that, then we pursue Christ. Because that's where all the blessings are. Everything about Christ sanctifies us, makes us pure, sets us apart, lifts us above the world, prepares us for heaven. Therefore, we want more of him, not less. but more. He knew that everything about Christ was relevant to his life. It's sad today when so many churches, so-called, they advertise relevant worship services. What they're saying is, we don't do things the old way because they're irrelevant. We do things the new way. We're relevant. There's nothing more relevant than Jesus Christ. And we need to pursue Him first and above all. He knew that Christ was priceless, that is precious, what we spoke about this morning. Incomparable. Irreplaceable. Now, if we believe, totally convinced, that Jesus Christ cannot be replaced, then we're not going to try to replace Him. We're going to pursue Him. Yet people who profess salvation try to replace Christ all the time with something else. He wanted more and more of Christ. He wanted to know more of Christ. He wanted a deeper relationship with Christ. This was true in all aspects of his life, all circumstances. So the mindset here is more of Christ. And Christ will be the pursuit of my life. Oh, that we would all be in agreement. He is the pursuit. He's what we're going to pursue. He's number one pursuit. And anyone who's otherwise minded, again, they're wrong. Whether it be ourselves or anyone else, it doesn't matter. They're wrong. And they need to be corrected. Then lastly, Christ is the power of our life. He says in verse 12 of chapter 4, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Now that verse says much more than what most people think. It doesn't say that he knows about abasement and he knows about abounding. He knows, says, I know how. I know how to live when abased. And I know how to live when I abound. And how is that? For me to live is Christ. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to the full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. In the context, that is true whether we're abased or whether we're abounding. Circumstances don't have anything to do with it. He says, I can do all things through Christ. Yet how many people are waiting to serve God, so they say, when their circumstances change? Circumstances don't have a thing to do with your service to the Lord. None. It's Christ. And I can, through Christ, regardless of the circumstances, do all things. Because it's He which strengthens us. So those words cover all circumstances, every verse we've read here does. Covers all conditions, covers all our duties, covers all our responsibilities in the Christian life. Whatever God commands us to do, we can do it through Him. I can do through Christ. I can through Christ. I can through Christ and only through Him serve the Lord with all my heart. I can through Christ follow Him wherever He leads, whenever He leads, under whatever circumstances. I can through Him. He's basing this on the fact that he knows that Christ is all the strength he needs. So it leads him to this conclusion, I can through Christ. The Lord demands for us to put Him first in all things. Someone says, well, that's not possible. Yes, it is. I can through Christ. You can put the Lord ahead of anything and anybody. Amen. Through Christ. You won't do it any other way. I can through Christ forsake all for His honor and His glory. And ought to. I can through Christ be surrendered to His will and to His ways. I can. I can do whatever He commands. Through Christ, through the power, through the strength of Jesus Christ. I can through Christ do whatever He has called me to do. Through Christ. So I can't live with my husband anymore. I can't live with my wife anymore. I can't do this. I can't do that. Yes, you can. Through Christ. He's our strength. People need to be honest. And they need to say, I don't want to do such and such. Just be honest. I can, through Christ, live above the world's ways. Yes, we live in difficult times. God's people have always lived in difficult times. It's never easy for a child of God, because everything in this world goes contrary. But yes, we live in perilous times. But we don't have to be sucked in by the world. We can live above the world's ways through Christ. That's our strength. And if we realize that, who are we going to pursue? Him. If we realize that, who are we going to live for? Him. I can, through Christ, live victoriously, overcome the sin in my life. People say, well, I just can't give that up. I've tried. Well, maybe that's part of the problem. You've tried. Lean on Him. Lean on Him. Because you can. Through Christ, you can live, you can overcome sins. And I can, through Christ, endure all things. There's a lot of things. I can make a long list of things I hope I never have to experience, things I hope I never have to endure. But I can. Not in my strength, but in His. So, when we're called to endure something, who are we to pursue? The one that we can endure it through. Jesus Christ. These are words that teach us that we should look at our duties to God with joy, because we are able through Christ. through Christ. The problem is we look at our duties apart from Christ. And we're not to do that because we can do them through Christ. So again, Paul is exhorting us to live a life all about Christ. He's to be the purpose. He's to be our pattern. He's to be the pursuit. He is the strength or the power of our life. And after all of those things, we can put Philippians 3 verse 15. That we would all be thus minded. We wouldn't have any problem being in agreement on these things. You realize if people were more, and I'm talking about God's people, members of the Lord's churches, if people were in agreement on these things, that'd eliminate almost all problems. And take care of a lot of things. How much of Christ is in our life? We need to ask ourselves that often. Need to examine ourselves in that area. How much of Christ is in our life? You can tell a lot by just looking at your calendar. How much of Christ is in our life? How much of Christ is in our interests? Is he just a side interest? Or is he the interest? How much of Christ is in our ways, our opinions? Our opinions shouldn't be separate from Christ. What about our feelings? Somehow we think it's okay to separate our feelings from the Lord. Well, that's bad feelings. How much of Christ is in our feelings? How much of Christ is in our viewpoints? And again, we've said this many times, it's getting scary. You talk to some who profess to be God's people and just get their viewpoints on things, that's scary stuff. And what it manifests is Christ isn't in their life. Because they couldn't hold those viewpoints if Christ was the purpose of their life. How much of Christ is in our pursuits, our choices? Every choice we make ought to center around Christ. People wouldn't find themselves in the positions they're in if they made choices centered around Jesus Christ. How much of Christ is in our plans? And again, we've preached on this. One message in particular, and we've mentioned it several times. We need to plan to serve God. We need to plan to. That means on Saturday evenings, we're already making plans to be in the Lord's house. You don't stay out till 3 in the morning so that you can barely drag yourself into the Lord's house. That's not planning on serving God. You don't plan to work on the Lord's day. That's not planning to serve God. That's planning not to serve the Lord. So how much of Christ is in our plans? Well, he should be in all of them. He should be in all of them. How much of Christ is in our hopes? He is our hope. He is our hope. I have no other hope outside of Jesus Christ. None. Neither do you. How much of Christ is in our hopes? But really, the main question is, how much of Christ do we want in our lives? That's really the main question. That's really the question we need to be most honest about. How much of Christ? He saved my soul. He came where I was and saved my soul. Now, how much of him do I want in my life? We ought to want all of them. We ought to want him to fill every aspect of our life. And there are those, again from Philippians 3:15, there are those who will agree with that. Our life is to be Christ. They agree. We all fail. But you pick yourself up and you start pursuing again. And we agree on that. But there are some who don't. They don't agree. They think life should be about the grandkids. They think life should be about their job or whatever. You can put anything in there. They don't agree. No sense in arguing with them. They don't have. But those have who see that life is to be all about Christ. I'm not saying they're lost. They might be saved. I don't know. But they don't have the same view of Christ, the one who saved them, as those who think you ought to live this way. We ought to thank God for those who are in agreement on this. And they're getting fewer all the time. Getting fewer and fewer all the time when it comes right down to it. Again, people can say anything. But when it comes right down to it, there aren't many who believe that it's all about Christ. It's all about the Lord. So we, and I hope there's many, that we could stand and agree, yes, Jesus Christ should be our purpose. He's our pattern. He's our pursuit. He's our power. And though there are others who are otherwise minded, we'll continue to live with Christ as our purpose, Christ as our pattern. Christ is our pursuit. Christ is our power. Oh, that we would be in agreement that life is all about Christ. And if we find those that are in agreement with that, and there are some here that are in agreement with that, no doubt. Those people ought to be cherished. They ought to be appreciated. It's good to be, especially in the day in which we live, to find people in agreement. Life's all about Him. It's all about Him. But realize there are many, many, many who are otherwise minded. Our prayer is that we wouldn't be otherwise minded, but that we would be of this mind. Life's about Him. It's all about Him. Don't know how much time we have left. None of us do. But whatever it is, it ought to be about Him. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us a verse of song.